Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahi rahmanir rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. My dear viewers of Mother Nation, welcome back to another episode of our series In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, there are many blessings and virtues in reciting salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam has stated that he who recites salat upon the noble messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam just once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows 10 blessings upon that person. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal. Previously we heard that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has arrived at Quba, and then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, he comes towards Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he leaves Quba on a Friday. On the very same day of Friday. Now Friday, of course, is no doubt a very, very important day for Muslims overall. Now one thing we must remember is, yes, Friday is Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Yes, the day of Friday is Yawm al-Jumu'ah. And the first question is, was this always known as Yawm al-Jumu'ah? So the scholars, they differ. Some of the scholars have stated that yes, from the beginning of time, this was known as Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Why? Because this is, it comes from Jam'ah, from gathering. So this is the day when the multitudes will be gathered on the day of judgment. Oh, the scholars state that because this is the day when say the Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when his body's parts were gathered and he was created on this day, because he was created on a Friday. And some would also say that it's known as Jumu'ah. Why? Because Sayyidina As'ad ibn Zurara radiallahu anhu, he would gather the people on a Friday to have a congregational prayer. Yes. And these are a few reasons mentioned as to why it's known as Yawm al-Jumu'ah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam bis-sawab. Allah ta'ala knows best. However, my dear viewers, Friday, no doubt, in Islam is of great significance. It's of huge importance. It's a blessed day to mashallah azza wa jalla. So it's the day of Friday. Yes, Yawm al-Jumu'ah, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he travels and he's leaving Quba, is on his way to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And there he stops on the land of Banu Salim ibn Auf. And here he leads the Friday prayer. So this is another thing. The Friday prayer, when was it actually initiated? Yes, is mentioned that Sayyidina As'ad ibn Zurara radhiallahu an, that he would lead a Jumu'ah, meaning he would gather people together. But the first Jumu'ah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the first Jumu'ah performed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was not in Makkah al-Mukarramah, but rather coming to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his Friday Salat al-Jumu'ah. Now the place where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prayed, this land owned by the Banu Salim, Ibn Auf, it said that this was actually a valley, and this valley went by the name of Ranuna. And the name, and there was some sort of construction there, wallahu alam, which went by the name of Ghubayb. Ghubayb. And because the Messenger of Allah prayed there, And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prayed his first Jum'ah salah there, which is 2 rak'at, yes? Even at that time, he prayed his first Jum'ah salah there. For this reason, today, that same masjid is known as Masjid Jum'ah, which many people who have traveled to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, today they can go and visit to, mashallah, Azza wa Jal. Here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also gave his first sermon. It's the first khutbah given by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again he mounts his animal, his camel, and he heads towards Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's coming towards Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And on his way, as he's coming towards Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, the scholars state that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many people would meet Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Remember, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he was also a businessman. And he would travel much more than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned that yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveled as a child. Here or there he traveled for Sayyidatuna Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu anha. Maybe once, maybe twice, wallahu alam. A few times for Sayyidah Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu anha, but he did not travel regularly, or especially not as regularly as Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Because upon seeing them, everybody would immediately would notice Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and they would also be able to identify him, they would recognize him. And they would also ask, Man hadha ma'ak? And some would use the word shab, who is this young man? He was, you know, people would think of him as a young man. So they would ask, and they would say, you know, who is this person with you? Man ma'ak? Oh, Abu Bakr, who is this person with you? And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu would reply that he's my guide. Or he's the one yahdini ila tariq, or ila sabil. He is the one that is showing me the path. He is the one that guides me to the path. And the people upon hearing this, they would think that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a guide. Not that he was a guide. But they would think that he was a guide, that type of guide who would just show the physical path. Now from this, maybe we can deduce, maybe, that remember, There were 4 people on this journey. There was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Who were the other two names? Think about it. Who were the other two? One was the freed slave of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Amir ibn Fuhayra radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the fourth person was Abdullah ibn Urayqid. Who was Abdullah ibn Urayqid? Abdullah ibn Urayqid was the guide, was their guide. And so it seems that maybe now his job was complete and he had either remained in Quba or he had returned to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. After this, there's nothing really mentioned about Abdullah ibn Urayqid. And so Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq could now say that, yes, he is my guide, meaning the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, what he referred to when he said he is my guide, meaning he is my spiritual guide. He is my guide to Jannah. He is my guide to the religion of Islam. He is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. However, the other people, so this was a way in which he didn't lie. So he didn't lie, did he? He said he's my guide. It's not wrong. That person thought he was a guide for the pathway, whereas in reality, no doubt he is the greatest of all guides. He's Hadi, he's our guide, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. So the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his camel, Qaswa, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he is traveling behind. This shows the rank. And it shows the greatness of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And then imagine the people, how they had rejoiced, how the excitement, you know, the excitement in the air, just hearing about it, you know, maybe it'll make you excited, it makes me excited. It's mentioned that some of Sayyidina Barra ibn Azib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that never have I ever seen the people of Al-Madinah happy about anything as they were happy about the arrival of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam on that day. Allahu Akbar. Of course, the people were excited. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu states that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, he arrived in the blessed city of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, the Abyssinians, they were playing some sort of, well, it's stated that they played with their spears. So maybe, wallahu alam, I don't know, I'm just thinking, maybe it's as a person would do when he would swish the spear around, yes, to bring it, you know, in this motion, as is done in certain martial arts, wallahu ta'ala alam, but they rejoice in their own way. From this, we understand something beautiful. And this is that there's no harm in celebrating good things which come about, of course, like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, to celebrate good things as long as you are celebrating them in ways which are not against the Sharia, which are not against the Quran and the Sunnah. In such a case, then it's good to celebrate things. And you can celebrate things as long as you are doing it in a halal way. And it's also stated that the entire city became illuminated by the presence of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everybody was excited, everybody was happy, people were celebrating, the young girls had came out, they had come out, the children had come out, you know, everybody coming out, rushing towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. And when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam came, then the famous verses of poetry, yes, the famous verses of poetry, طلع البدر علينا من ثنيات الوداع وجب الشكر علينا ما دعا لله داع أيها المبعوث فينا جئت بالأمر المطاع جئت شرفت المدينة مرحبا يا خير داع. This was read by the young children of Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah. It said that they had climbed upon their homes. Yes, that they had climbed upon their homes and they would be reciting this, welcoming the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, some scholars about this, you know, this is something we've heard ever since we were children. Yes, everybody excited about this, everybody's heard this kalam, tala'al badru alayna. I'm just thinking, who has not heard of this? Who has not heard of this? That's the question. You know, which Muslim has not heard of this, subhanAllah? Tala'al badru alayna. Something we all heard as children. Now, in regards to this, it's stated, Allama Zulqani rahimahullah ta'ala, he states, قال شيخ الإسلام الولي ابن العراقي. الشيخ الإسلام الولي ابن العراقي, he states, وهذا كله مردود. That this did actually not occur at this event, but rather, as is mentioned in various ahadith, it says, لما قدم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من تبوك, that this happened upon the return of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم from Tabuk, and is very famous, and there are sahih, strong narrations supporting this. And Tabuk was on the border of greater city, Ash-Sham. And Makkah al-Mukarramah was at the opposite end. So they couldn't come towards this, towards the south side and call that Thaniyat al-Wada', and then go towards the north and also call that Thaniyat al-Wada'. However, some scholars, what they have stated is, no, they are both. Thaniyat al-Wada' also only refers to that place from where people will bid farewell, or that place where people would welcome others. Yes, so it could be that this was on both sides. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam bis-sawab. But no doubt, my dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, there was extreme happiness. People were excited. Yes, and people were longing for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People were longing for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because that person who they loved so much and they had never seen him. They're not seeing pictures on their phone. Yeah, they were not sent videos beforehand, no. They only heard by word of mouth about the greatness of this individual, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just imagine how excited they were. And then the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appears and he comes. Subhanallah. No doubt, you know, the entire city was lit up. It was beautified with the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his camel. Yes, he would come and he would pass by the people, and the people would call him, and they would invite him, and they would say to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would say, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, come to us. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, come to us, where there is quwwah and mana'a." Yes, this could be read in two ways. It could be read as mana'a, yes, which means nobility. Or mana'a, if it was, it could mean both. It could be where there's nobility, as well as this, there is also protection. Yes, there's protection for you. There's mana'a, yes, or mana'a. So, if you were to say mana'a, then this would refer to honor and nobility. And if you were to say mana'a, then it's also a group of people here to protect you. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. So Ya Rasulullah, come to us. We will protect you. Yes, you know, there's honor here amongst us. And we will protect you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now there's something beautiful here. Now remember, everyone wished for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay with them. Yes, no doubt they all wished for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come to them. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of all mankind sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would think of those things which we would never imagine. If he was to go there in front of everybody, and if he was to choose one person, then maybe other people would think that, oh, why did he choose him? Why did he not choose me? Why did he not wish to stay at ours? Maybe this would hurt, of course, you know, people would be saddened. Maybe this would hurt some people. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he did it in the best of ways. Yeah, people were trying to take the rope of the camel, you know, stop here, you know, Ya Rasulullah, come enter our home, stay at our home. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, just leave the camel. Just leave the camel. Why? Because he is ma'mura. Because the camel has been commanded. Now they all understood immediately what that was. That this was a divine commandment. That this is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave the camel. The camel knows where to go. Wherever the camel will stop. This was the profound, the wisdom of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now wherever the camel should stop, that's the place I will stay. And so the camel, it continues and continues. And some say it stopped at one place. And then again it stood up. And that the place where it stopped is where the place of the masjid of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then it continued. Of course that was later the masjid, the Nabawi was built. But where it was supposed to be. And then again it stood and it continued. And it stopped by the house, or close to the house of one of the greatest the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, a name we've all heard of, Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it stops by his house or at his house, and then the camel, it lowers its neck as a camel would do. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he descends from this camel. And it stated, okay, he was next to the house, and Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiyallahu anhu, he came and he takes, and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, my house is the closest. So, you know, allow me to take your belongings. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a person is with his belongings. Meaning, okay, you've taken my belongings to your house, then okay, I shall remain in your house. Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiyallahu anhu was from the Banu Najjar. And now there's another story mentioned as to whose this house really is. a history going back by about 1,000 years. This house, which was, as we think it is, the house of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, this was in fact built for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by a person known as Tubba'. So Tubba' is the title of the kings of Yemen. Yes, Tubba' ibn Hassan al-Himyari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, and maybe because people would curse Tubba', wallahu alam, but the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "La tusubbu Tubba'. Tubba'an, فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ أَسْلَمَ." That do not swear out, do not speak badly, do not curse Tubba. Why? For indeed he has accepted Islam. Why or how did he accept Islam? So it said, Tubba was a great king, and he would have with him 130,000 horsemen and 130,000 cavalry, meaning people walking, foot soldiers you can say. And he would travel his kingdom. He would, you know, travel all over. He would travel to different places. And this is about 1,000 years before. This was Makkah al-Mukarramah was also under his kingdom. It was a part of his kingdom. And mentioned, quoting a long story short, Tubba came to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Nobody came out to see him. So he considered breaking the Kaaba. But then what happened? Was it some sort of illness? He saw some sort of punishment coming upon him, and so his scholars advised him to rather respect and show honor to the Ka'bah al-Musharrafa, and he was the first person to place a cloth over the Ka'bah al-Musharrafa. And then after going to Makkah al-Mukarramah, he then travels to Al-Madinah al-Munawwara. At that time, remember, it was not known as Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, it was known as Yathrib. Now, along with him, along with his large army, there were also scholars he kept with him. And when the scholars, they came and they saw Al-Madinah al-Munawwara, they vowed and they took a promise, they sworn oath. And they said, we cannot leave this place. We are not going to leave this place. He asked them, why? And he says, because this is that place where the chosen one of Allah, the chosen one of God, the last messenger, whose name is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is that place where he shall migrate towards. Because, you know, we see all these signs, this tree, this, you know, these are the signs mentioned in our book. That he shall come to this place. And Tubba was thinking, okay, but I must return to my kingdom. But what does he do? He says, no problem. If you wish to stay here, stay here. What does he do for them? He arranges for a house to be built for each and every single one of them. He purchases slave women and frees them and gifts this to them as their wives. And he also arranges or orders for the construction of another home, and states that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes, then you are to provide him with this house. And he also writes a letter, which is part of that. He writes a letter, and within this letter, he mentions that, you know, my name is Tubba, and if my age was to reach yours, that first I accept your religion, and if my age was to reach yours, rather than me being a king, I would be a representative for yourself, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he declares that he accepts the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ أَسْلَمَ. For indeed, Tubba, لَا تَسُبُّ Tubba. Do not swear at him. For indeed, he is a Muslim. And he says, at that time, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the previous books was known as Ahmad. And so he states, I believe in you as Ahmad. Yes, I believe in you as a messenger of God, as a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the creator of souls. And if I were to live as long as yourself, if I was to see yourself, then I would be your minister, and I would be your cousin. Subhanallah. Ibn Am, he mentions in the letter, I would be your cousin too. Subhanallah. So this was Tubba. And then he seals this letter in gold, and he passes this letter to the chief rabbi. from those 400 scholars to the chief of those. He passes this to him. And this is, he orders him and he says to him, he instructs him, if you meet him, give him this letter from me. If you don't meet him, then give it to your son. And continue to give it to your children until it reaches the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So over 1,000 years are passing. He gives it to one person, who gives it to the next son, who gives it to the next son, who gives it to the next son, and the next, until it comes to, guess who? Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, radhiyallahu anhu, when he hears that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam is coming, he sends a letter to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was passed through an individual by the name of Abu Layla. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, O Abu Layla, you have with you the letter of Tubba al-Himyari. So give it to me. Now that person, when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Layla, when he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, you know, you are Abu Layla and you have the letter of Tubba, and Tubba the first, became confused. And he was shocked and was thinking, no, what's all of this about? Meaning, no, how do you know about this letter? So he asked him, he said, man ant, who are you? Inni lam ara fi wajhika athar as-sihr. For indeed, I do not see in your face any signs of, you cannot be a magician. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I am Muhammad, hati al-kitab, give me the letter. And this is who I am Muhammad, give me the letter. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he opens his 1,000-year letter. And he says, marhaba bi Tubba al-akhi salih. He says, welcome to Tubba. Marhaba to Tubba. Subhanallah. And Sayyidina Tubba radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu is a Muslim, and he is a person who believed in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1,000 years before the coming of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this house, the house of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radhiyallahu anhu, some of the scholars state that in fact the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived in his own house. Allahu Akbar. How beautiful is this? And if it was, we have completely run out of time. That's all for today. Inshallah, we shall hear more about the house of Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari and his experiences living with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam next time on More in the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.